Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of this show. It's an ensemble program, lots of good people involved, and the host and founder of the show is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. On today's program, she'll be talking with Dr. Jordan Geller. He's a board-certified internist and endocrinologist, and he is past clinical chief of the Division of Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. And he's going to be talking to Carol about the importance of thyroid disease awareness and the Follow the Script initiative. She'll also be talking in just a moment with noted political reporter, journalist, and author Eleanor Cliff. That's coming up in a moment. We'll also be joined by Kevin Casey, our senior correspondent, who's also the vice president and executive editor of the trade publication Talkers Magazine. And our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, will be talking with Dr. Dale Bredesen, director of the Mary S. Easton Center for Alzheimer's Disease Research at UCLA. And Steve will also be giving us some warnings about obituary scams. So we have a very, very information-packed hour ahead for you. Let's kick it off right now with the host of the program, Carol Marx, in conversation with Eleanor Clift. She's a highly respected political reporter, journalist, and author of 2 Weeks of Life, a memoir of love, death, and politics. She's also on the Board of Governors at the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Carol caught up with her last week at a radio row put on by an organization called Families USA in Washington, D.C.
Now, you're known as a healthcare activist. Where did you first get interested in this topic?
Well, I don't know that I would call myself an activist because I'm a journalist and it's kind of hard to wear the two hats. But my husband died 10 years ago now, and he died at home with hospice care. And so then I was invited on to serve on the board of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. I'm now on their board of governors. And so when you go through an experience like that, my husband died at home quietly with a hospice, and he happened to die the day before Terri Schiavo, who was the young woman in Florida that became the center of a media frenzy because her husband wanted to take her off of a feeding tube after she'd been in a really a comatose state for 15 years. And it was a huge fight. It went all the way to Washington. President Bush came back and signed legislation ordering, or asking, I should say, the federal courts to reopen the case, which they refused, and Terri Schiavo did die. But I think when you go through a personal experience, you then get passionate about it. And so I feel very strongly that hospice is a good thing, and it's become politicized in this country.
Really, end-of-life care is health care, the right kind of end-of-life care. Mm-hmm. How is hospice doing? Because it always bothers me that more people don't get involved with hospice early on because they could get such benefit and such a sense of peace and dignity with life, and certainly for their families. So why hasn't that happened, and what can we do about it?
I think people resist it. It's called the best health care you can get that nobody wants, because it signals the end of life. And people don't like to recognize the fact that they are in the final 6 months of their life. And physicians are kind of reluctant to tell family members that. And our whole medical system was really, you know, designed to keep offering curative care. And I think that hospice doesn't really advertise itself enough so that people understand it's not about cutting you off and leaving you in a darkened room to die. It's to give you the best quality of life when your death is imminent, and when curative options are no longer a good option. I don't think the hospice industry, and it's now an industry, I don't think you can say that they're blameless. It started out as kind of a nonprofit angels doing this work, and it now there are for-profit hospices. Not everybody does a good job, and so they have to police themselves. And then you have the federal government trying to write regulations that make sense, and sometimes those regulations don't make sense.
It's all difficult.
It's now a very complicated issue, but people really should have the choice to see that this could benefit them.
What about, in a way, I had a brother who very unfortunately passed away from cancer. I'm still distressed about it, but he was in palliative care in a hospital, and he got the education from them that if he remained in there, he could still receive his services, whatever, but then there came a time that he would be transferred to hospice, so they kind of worked together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that something like that could be done, where there would be more cooperation?
Yes, I mean, ideally, when I think of hospice, I think of the ability to die at home with services coming in, and you are surrounded by your family and friends. That's ideal, but there are certainly in-house hospices, and they can provide hospice services in nursing homes and in hospitals. So, yes, I think there should be, more cooperation between these, and then not everybody is going to be able to handle somebody who's terminally ill in their living room, and you can't lift them, you can't just depend on
help.
People coming in a couple of times
and
a day.
And it's not a shame to ask for help. We need to make that point very clear. Now, sometimes I think it's not too bad an idea if the 1% of the country that has all the wealth, let's say when it comes to their Medicare, if they had higher premiums. In a way, that's means testing, but we have means testing for everything in this country.
Well, under President Obama, some of those fees have gone up. That's right. But people who receive Medicare somehow don't really think of it as a government benefit. And you had the famous sign, keep the government's hands off my Medicare. But the Medicare has been a hugely successful program, and the fear is that it won't be cost effective unless there are certain cost savings that are put in, and the Affordable Care Act begins to put in place some pilot programs and put in place some efforts to restrain costs, and it costs have been coming down.
If you could just wave a magic wand about the healthcare industry and make one change that you think would really help, what would you say today?
I think nurses, in many ways, are the foot soldiers in medical care, and they could probably use a little more recognition and a little more money.
Absolutely, and we need to do a better job of recruiting them and helping them to pay for their very expensive education.
That's a good point, right? Absolutely.
That's Eleanor Clift in conversation with Carol Marks. And that conversation took place last week at a Radio Row in Washington, D.C., put on by Families USA, talking about a wide variety of health care issues and covering the case that the Supreme Court is hearing over federal tax subsidies and the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Coming up next, Carol Marks will be joined by Dr. Jordan Geller to talk about thyroid disease and what you need to know. That's coming up next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage, when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
When we ran out, we stopped using it.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished? We thought everything was fine, and that was not a good thing.
No.
He started stinking. It was awful.
Shedding comes back, loss of hair, lots of dandruff.
Scratching will return. His shedding will increase.
If I ever took Roy off of Dinovite, he would go back to his hair loss.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dinovite.
When I get to about 3/4.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops. It's time to place my order. Dinovite.com.
Each and every day, she is getting a Dinovite.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dinovite. If it's working, don't quit.
Don't do what I did and run out.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is our host, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Dr. Jordan Geller. He's a board-certified internist and endocrinologist and past clinical chief of the Division of Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. He's going to talk to Carol about the importance of thyroid disease awareness and the Follow the Script initiative.
And today we're going to be talking about a thyroid condition called hypothyroidism or low thyroid. So what is it, and is there any genetic component to having low thyroid function?
Well, that's a great question. Hypothyroidism is a condition in which that thyroid gland starts to fail. And when it does, people develop symptoms from their head to their toe. And some of those symptoms that people feel are fatigue, memory impairment, or my patients often use the term brain fog. Patients often feel cold. They may be gaining weight. They get constipated. They can have changes in their hair, their skin and nails getting dry and brittle. They may have puffiness in their feet or their hands. And, you know, generally just a sense of really feeling unwell. And, you know, these are really important symptoms that I want your listeners to be aware of so they can bring it to the attention of their doctor and get tested.
Now, I understand that there is also a simple 5-step exercise that you can do at home that can help you check out what your thyroid is doing and how well it is.
Absolutely. There is a test at home. I really want to make the distinction to your listeners. The test that we're going to describe, which is called the neck check, is really a test for thyroid nodules, which are growths on the thyroid that sometimes can be a sign of thyroid cancer. So it's not a way to test for hypothyroidism, but it is still a very important part of one's thyroid health. And what I'd like your listeners to picture is you sit at home with a glass of water in front of a mirror, and you take a sip of water and you gently rest your hands in front of your neck, just on top of your collarbone. And as you swallow that water, the thyroid gland will rise up and down under your hands, and can feel for any lumps or bumps or irregularities. And again, if anyone out there does this, if they feel anything that doesn't feel right or they're just not sure, they should definitely make an appointment to see their doctor, get their neck checked there, and they can do a thyroid ultrasound, which is a really simple scan of the thyroid. Again, this neck check is available as a video on our site, which is at followthescriptcampaign.com. We have a great video that your listeners can go to and watch, and it's really informative.
Now, we're talking about hypothyroidism today, and I know personally that it can be caused by the necessary removal of one's thyroid gland after a biopsy shows they have thyroid cancer, which has to be removed. And I understand that that is one of the fastest-growing cancers. Is that true?
That's true. Thyroid cancer is one of the fastest-growing cancers that we're aware of, and you know, the reasons for that are still sort of being worked out. But in the meantime, we're really encouraging patients to be screened for, and by the way that I just described, doing a neck check And then, of course, having their thyroid tested with a simple blood test can help determine if the thyroid is functioning well. So this is information that patients should really be empowered about and really know about. So if somebody's feeling symptoms of hypothyroidism, they don't just blow it off. We don't want them just to think, oh, I'm getting tired, I'm old, I'm working too hard. You know, we want people to go to their doctor and really be a team and get tested and, if proper, get treated for thyroid disease.
Now, here's the most important question I'm sure that our listeners want to know, and that is hypothyroidism. How do you treat it? Because everybody wants to feel better, not so tired, and some of those other symptoms we've mentioned.
Right, you bring up a great point, and that is the treatment. The treatment of hypothyroidism generally involves taking thyroid hormone, which is available as a pill. It's typically a single pill. It's taken once a day in the mornings. And, it's something that in most cases is lifelong. And it really requires, again, a close partnership with the doctor, because patients who take thyroid hormone need to be monitored. We need to know how they're feeling. We need to watch for any side effects. We need to make sure their blood levels are in a good range. And it's very important to tell a doctor if you're on thyroid hormone, if you're on any other medications, or if anything's different changing in your health. So again, this is all really good information that is on our website at followthescriptcampaign.com, where patients can really learn the right questions to ask their doctor and the right, you know, information they should be getting from their doctor.
Now, you said that, once somebody is on a pill to help them, you know, have a proper thyroid level, how often are they going to have periodic blood tests just to see how they are doing? Because can it fluctuate quite a bit?
It can fluctuate, which is important why it's followed. So generally when somebody started on thyroid hormone, we'll see them back within about 4 to 6 weeks to get their dose checked and see how they're feeling. And then thereafter, it really it's really based on how they're feeling, how their levels are. But generally, I like to see my patients, 3-4 times a year, certainly in the beginning, while we're finding a stable dose for them to be on.
Now, we mentioned your website earlier, but let's talk about it some more, because I think it's very helpful. And what are the ways that it can be helpful to patients who think they might have symptoms of hypothyroidism or actually have been diagnosed?
Well, on the site, which is at followthescriptcampaign.com, there is information that I've just described about hypothyroidism and the signs and symptoms to watch for. There are patient stories from Sophia Vergara, as well as other real patients who have thyroid disease who have been kind enough to go on there and share their stories. In fact, there's even an opportunity for people to go on and post their own stories. So we're really building a community of awareness here about thyroid disease. There is the video, as I mentioned, that describes how to do that neck check, and lots of great, really reliable information. So it's a great tool for people out there to know about.
And I read recently that some endocrinologists have been warning patients about not taking over-the-counter supplements that promise to enhance the thyroid function because they may get more than they bargained for. I didn't realize that such supplements might be found over-the-counter.
Well, there are a lot of things out there. There are a lot of supplements and over-the-counter products that are marketed towards thyroid health, but really none of them have the clinical studies behind them to show what they claim. And thyroid hormone, which is a FDA-approved medication that's strictly regulated and monitored, is safe and effective as long as the patient is taking it correctly, following with their doctor, and getting monitored periodically. So I would encourage patients, if they are taking any other supplements or herbs, just to make sure that they let their doctor know that, so we can take that into account when we're testing them.
Now, isn't it important to take your thyroid, your synthetic thyroid, if you're on it, at a particular time?
Yes. Generally, we have patients take it in the morning on an empty stomach with a glass of water, and generally try to take it about the same time every day, so we have a consistent level in the body. The body likes things to be stable, and certainly that can be achieved with thyroid hormone replacement, absolutely.
Do you have any final message for our listeners about hypothyroidism? Are we getting better about, and I certainly think that your website helps tremendously, about getting the word out to people that this is something you need to check into and something that can be helped?
Absolutely. I really want, your listeners to be aware of the fact that, these symptoms that I mentioned are very common, and they can often be dismissed and thought to be from some other condition. And it's so simple to go to the doctor to get tested. There's a simple blood test. It's called TSH. Any doctor can do nowadays and get us a result back, usually within a day or so. So, you know, I really encourage your listeners out there to become a partner with their doctor and to really advocate for their own health. And if they do have thyroid disease, to really, you know, be engaged and realize this is going to be a lifelong partnership, but it is definitely something that can be treated lifelong.
That's Dr. Jordan Geller in conversation with Carol Marks. If you'd like more information about the Follow the Script initiative, you can go to the website followthescript.com. That's followthescript.com. If you'd like more information about Carol Marks and this program, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, go to the website atouchofgray.com. It's got lots of information, resources for you. The Adventures of Carol Marks, what a great lady she is indeed. And that's at atouchofgray.com, and gray is spelled with an E. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to have Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine joining us, and Steve Wiseman will be talking a bit about Alzheimer's disease research at UCLA, along with giving us some warnings how to avoid the scams out there. There are some obituary scams that, can you believe it, that's how low some will go. And he'll be giving us the lowdown on that scam to avoid. All coming your way when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great radio station. In just a moment. Michael Harrison here with you on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Very proud to be with you on this program. This program has been on the air in one form or another consistently now for over two decades. Kind of runs below the radar. It's heard on weekends on great talk radio stations around the country. And what I'm really proud about in terms of this program, in which I have the opportunity to serve as anchor, not as host. Carol Marks is the host, and I certainly am not the only voice on this show. We have a round table of outstanding personalities, experts, and broadcasters. What I love about this show is that in an industry marked by concern, focus, obsession with youth, and believe me, I'm about as young thinking as anybody you'll meet. Sometimes I'm even accused of being immature. But and so I'm all for that, and I'm all for looking ahead. But I'm also for fairness, and I'm also for respect. And the media in America, driven by, obviously, Madison Avenue and commercial concerns, focuses primarily on young people. And if somebody's over 50 or 55 or 60, they quite often find that there's a lot lacking in terms of what's available in the mainstream media. So this program, which was conceived and developed by Carol Marks more than 20 years ago, originally was called Senior Focus, and it evolved into A Touch of Gray, and I became involved with it along the way, is something that really provides a service in as much as it unashamedly, unabashedly, unapologetically brings information to people via this wonderful medium of radio that is of use, of interest, of service, of comfort, of support to people over 50 years of age and their families, which is why I say at the beginning of the program, children of all ages, because so many people in their 50s find themselves in a situation that has been kind of accurately and colorfully termed the sandwich generation, meaning they have children, adult children, still living with them, and abiding by the rule that came down a long time ago, honor thy father and thy mother, they have their parents living with them. In many cases, these parents are in their 80s, 90s, and are living at home. And the amount of pressure that can be put on somebody dealing with adult children and senior parents all under one roof is extraordinary, and it's a phenomenon that in many ways I applaud. I'm all for family staying together. But also, there are people who are in need of support and information. So in many ways, A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, is in fact a program for children of all ages. But I salute Carol Marx. I think that she has done and continues to do a remarkable job. And she does it under sometimes the worst of conditions because, like the rest of us, she's not getting any younger either. But she drives herself to research and get the information needed and select guests and topics. And not only that, she travels around the world and brings information from other countries on how their healthcare systems operate and how the services that they provide for senior citizens there are taken care of and done. And she brings that information back, not to mention she acts as a model, as a role model for people to get up and get out and live life and do things. And she's done everything from, she's explored, you know, if there were four corners on this planet, as the saying goes, she's been to all four of them. Check her out at the website, atouchofgrey.com. Gray is spelled with an E. And I just wanted to mention that she is one fine lady, and we're grateful to be involved with her in this project.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgrey.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgrey.com. We spell gray with an E. A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself, because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names. It's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online, from building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase. Hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and this is the point in the program where we're joined by Kevin Casey, our senior correspondent, who's also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers that serves the talk radio industry with inside information. And sometimes we peek behind the curtain, see what's going on there. Kevin, I know that a variety of topics are talked about in the medium of talk radio. I would imagine this week one of the biggest is the ongoing Emailgate scandal of Hillary Clinton.
Sure. The former Secretary of State, it is now known that while she was serving in that position, used her personal email for State Department business, and people are concerned about that for obvious reasons, political, and the fact that there are security issues on the private servers, and, well, quite frankly, probably security issues on public servers, too, but there are reasons why emails are supposed to be done all on government email servers when you're Secretary of State.
And most of the complaints are probably political, because if you scratch any politician, you'll find something dastardly in their past or even in their present. That aside, one of the reasons that the Clintons, or in this case Mrs. Clinton, has been criticized is that it's typical of the Clintons that they like to do everything secretively. Of course, I've heard that about every single politician ever elected to office on either side of the aisle or either party. Have you noticed that? You know. what's the word, transparency?
Right, right.
That's an optical illusion or a delusion or a hallucination on the part of just about anybody who seeks elective office transparency. But I do believe that we are entering an age where privacy is certainly something that we should be as worried about losing as clean water and clean air. Clean air, clean water, and privacy. Three elements that will become increasingly scarce in the years to come, and certainly of concern. Any final thoughts on that?
I mean, you pretty much put it in a nutshell, Michael. It's going to be one of the most pressing concerns for society as we go forward.
Kevin Casey is the Vice President and Executive Editor of Talkers, and Talkers Magazine is located at talkers.com. If you want to know what's going on behind the scenes in talk radio, that's the place to go. I'm Michael Harrison, and A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat, but adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite's the bomb.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite, it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com. Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. You may recognize the symptoms of elderly depression, loss of appetite, weight loss, social withdrawal, problems with hygiene, neglecting personal well-being, or even a sadness that lasts over 2 weeks. Sound familiar? Here's what you can do about it. Exercise, eat well, and don't forget to socialize. Researchers at Duke University suggest exercising at least 3 times a week to keep the body and mind healthy. That means swimming, walking, and maybe light exercise classes with the approval of your medical doctor. Another key to happiness is maintaining self-esteem through clubs and groups. You might consider the gardening club or a musical choir. And lastly, treat your body well and it will thank you by feeling well. That means practicing good nutrition and eating well-balanced meals daily. Naturally, the needs of patients vary, but feel free to consult a geriatric specialist to make a personalized treatment plan. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at premiergeriatricrn.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, in conversation right now with Dr. Dale Bredesen. Dr. Dale Bredesen is the director of the Mary S. Easton Center for Alzheimer's Disease Research at UCLA, and he's the lead author of a study that shows that we may be able to reverse signs of early Alzheimer's disease.
First of all, what causes Alzheimer's disease? Do we know?
Well, that's a great question. For most people, it is a combination of genetics
And, of course, lifestyle and various things that are done, various things you're exposed to. There is no one cause. There are many things that contribute, and that's part of the reason that we have taken the approach we've taken, because there are so many things that can contribute to this change. But the bottom line is it ends up that you have an imbalance between your ability to make and form connections in the brain and your ability to reorganize, to pull back. So you are out of balance in your memory forming versus memory reorganization or forgetting parameters.
And one of the things I believe I saw in your study was as many as 36 different factors that play a role here.
Right. So, of course, people have been looking for a silver bullet and saying, you know, what's the one cause and what's the one thing we can do? And what we're arguing is that if you look at the biochemistry of this process, it really is about what we call a plasticity network. So it's about many different things. And just as, you know, on your show you have many different people who contribute to what you're doing, there's a whole network of people that contribute. When you make and form and continue to have memories, you have an entire network, and we identified 36 different molecular players in this, and there are likely to be a few more, but this explains many of the things that we already know. And as a simple example, you know, why is it that if you didn't go to school very long, or you have low vitamin D, or you had an early oophorectomy without hormone replacement therapy, or you played in the National Football League, you know, these things that don't seem to have anything to do with each other all give you an increased likelihood of developing Alzheimer's. But it makes sense if you look at it from the standpoint that this is a plasticity network and that there are many things that contribute both on the positive and on the negative side.
So looking at what kind of protocols we might be able to use as individuals to strengthen our brains, what kind of things do you recommend and did you find?
Yeah, very good question. So first of all, we generally don't recommend that people treat themselves blindly, although certainly you're absolutely right, there are many things one can do. But the idea is that now for the first time we have, you know, many different things we can actually analyze. So most people are walking around not knowing which side of this balance they're on. They don't know, for example, their HSCRP or their vitamin D levels or their ratio of zinc to free copper, and on and on and on. If you know these things, then you know where you stand. And then once you know those, you can design, and this is what we do for each of the people, we design a personalized program for each person to say, okay, here are the things that are causing you to be on the wrong side of that balance, and or else the ones that are putting you at risk for being on the wrong side of that balance. And then we can address those. And you're absolutely right. This has to do with everything from how many hours you sleep at night to how much magnesium is in your red blood cells to whether you have some unresolved inflammation, which is, as you know, extremely common in our society, to whether you have a suboptimal vitamin D. And one of the points of this is that you don't want things just to be within the normal range, because normal range is often too wide. You want things to be optimal. So I usually tell the people that we're going to treat you now like a competitive athlete. We want you to have you to be optimal in all these different things, including your free T3, free T4, TSH, pregnenolone, you know, on and on and on. So these things that all contribute to that balance. And by the way, this is no different than the way we view osteoporosis. As you know, we have a lifetime of remodeling bone, and we have the osteoblastic signaling, this is putting down bone, and we have the osteoclastic signaling that's picking it up. In this case, though, with Alzheimer's, we're talking about synaptoblastic signals, of which there are many, as we mentioned, and synaptoclastic signals that are reorganizing things. You're actively forgetting, you know, the seventh song that played on the radio on the way to work yesterday. So there is this dynamic balance that happens throughout your life. And what we're really doing is changing that. And yes, it has to do with things like, are you exercising each day? Or how much stress are you under? Are you eating things with sugar in them? All these things all contribute to this balance.
One of the most interesting things I saw in looking at your study and the people you worked with is that so often many of us were under the understanding that there was nothing that could be done to improve your mind, but just all that could be done would be to slow the onset of the Alzheimer's. And yet the patients you were treating actually had positive results and were able to improve their minds. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And that's something, we need to change a number of things. And one is that perception of hopelessness. One of the problems, as you know, is that people will wait. They want to hide this. They don't want people to know. So they want to hide this as long as they can until it's very late in the process. It needs to be just the opposite. We need to start as early as possible. And even with people who are at risk and asymptomatic, that's the best. But certainly early in the process, and yes, in fact, the first patient out of those first 10 I just talked to a couple days ago, she's now 3 years out, completely back to normal, at work full time.
Amazing.
Turned 70. In fact, she's just turned 71 in April this year. So yes, the idea here is when you change that, you change the balance, and you are again able to make and store memories.
Are the kinds of tests you're talking about of these various factors, is this available generally for people to talk with their physician about?
Yes, these tests are generally available, and of course, new things are coming out, so it's a very exciting time. There are new retinal scans that are coming out so that you can actually look at your retina to see whether the amyloid plaque is present there, and it appears to be more sensitive than actually looking within the brain for these plaques. But in general, yes, all the blood tests that we use to get an idea of the biochemistry and where that stands are available. And it's interesting, we've run into some problems where physicians say, well, I don't really want to check that, or I don't really know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we are hoping that people will continue to learn about this and that they will obtain some of these tests because, yes, they are generally available.
Were there any of these factors that surprised you? Certainly, some of them I'm sure you were expecting, but were there any that had an effect on Alzheimer's that came as a surprise to you?
It's a good question, and there are several. One of the things that really surprised me was the degree to which insulin resistance plays a role in this. So what happens is when you are exposed to too many simple carbohydrates over time, then what happens is your body, of course, has to release insulin to deal with the glucose. And so your cells, it's a little bit like if your child is playing the radio or playing any sort of music on the iPod or anything, too loud, too much, you put on earmuffs. So you're no longer as sensitive. You don't hear the same thing. And what happens is with many of us, when we are exposed to too many, too much sugar, too much white bread, all that sort of stuff, too many of these simple carbohydrates, we have exposure to too much insulin for a long time, and our cells change literally by turning down that response to the insulin. And so what we found was that the people who reversed that insulin sensitivity by basically getting off all these things, reducing their stress, increasing their exercise, all these things to make their cells more sensitive, got better the quickest and did the best. And those who left that out, that one of the 36 holes, as we call them, when we always say tell people, look, imagine you have a roof with 36 holes in it. The drug company is telling you we're giving you a medicine that covers one hole. Well, that's great, but it doesn't do anything for the other 35. So the hope is that the platform that we've described will be the way then for the future to test these drugs. So the bottom line is I was surprised, actually, that the people who were really strict about their insulin sensitivity did the best the quickest. And the ones who left that out did not do nearly as well. And I was frankly surprised that insulin resistance turned out to be such an important one of those 36 holes. I thought that diet was going to be, a relatively unimportant one. Many of these herbs and supplements and other things that we use to get at this change were going to be more important. So that was one thing that really surprised me.
That's Dr. Dale Bredesen in conversation with our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. And he's the director of the Mary S. Easton Center for Alzheimer's Disease Research at UCLA. Coming up next, Steve Wiseman returns with information we need to protect ourselves against obituary scams. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. It is important to address a personal emergency response system in your home in case of falls or injuries. AARP encourages their use for many older Americans to enhance independence and security, especially for those living alone. Many brands of PERS are available on the market, and seniors should consider their specific needs and budget before deciding on a system. The Federal Trade Commission provides free online information. One can get a system as basic as wearing a necklace or bracelet and push a button that will transmit to an installed response center through your landline telephone. In the event of an emergency with falls, chest pain, a suspected intruder, a press of the button will have a 911 ambulance dispatched to your home, even if you cannot reach your phone. PERS systems can be rented or purchased through local hospitals and are affordable and serviced by representatives. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Steve Wiseman is one of the nation's leading experts on scams and fraud and identity theft and, you know, cybersecurity and privacy. He's the author of books such as The Truth About Avoiding Scams and Identity Theft Alert, published by Prentice Hall. His website is titled scamicide.com. You might want to check it out. Steve is here now to talk about obituary scams. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, scammers have no sympathy for anyone, as evidenced by the many scams that are based on obituaries. For years, scammers would scan the obituaries, then go to Social Security's Death Master File, where the names of deceased Americans are available along with their Social Security numbers, and then use that information on the deceased in order to make them a victim of identity theft by obtaining credit, filing phony income tax returns, or other tactics. Easy access by scammers to the Death Master File has been largely closed by legislation that took a long time to be made effective. Scammers also will look for information in obituaries about the names of family members and then use that information for purposes of the infamous grandparent scam, where the grandparent gets a telephone call late at night from a scammer posing as the grandchild, who, under the guise of some emergency, tricks the grandparent into sending money to the scammer. Another scam is scammers will call the families of people they see in obituaries and claim they're creditors of the deceased and that the family must pay a debt owed by the deceased. And then finally, scammers will also deliver packages by messengers or on a COD basis, claiming that the package was something ordered by the deceased. It's only after the family member has paid the cash on delivery charges and opened the package that the family finds the package is just filled with old newspapers or magazines, merely used as weight. Scammers prey on people at their most vulnerable, so it's at the times like the death of a family member that you really have to be your most vigilant. When writing an obituary, don't put in specific information, such as names that could be used by a scammer of children or grandchildren. Also, contact the three major credit reporting bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, to seal the credit report of the deceased in order to avoid the risk of identity theft. Because that way, even if someone gets the Social Security number and other information on the deceased, they're not going to be able to open credit. If someone contacts you claiming a debt that was owed by the deceased requires payment right now, demand written confirmation for you to review before paying any alleged debts. And don't be pressured. Don't be pressured to act quickly by a purported debt collector. Finally, if a COD package comes, refuse. Refuse to pay until you can confirm that the delivery is legitimate. You know, it's kind of a sad situation, but you have to recognize that these scammers truly have no sympathy, and the only place you're going to find that helping hand is at the end of your own arm.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Wiseman joins us every week here on Attention Gray. He's a senior correspondent on the show. He's also a prolific writer, a lawyer, and an expert on scams and fraud, as well as many of the topics we talk about. He's written Identity Theft Alert and The Truth About Avoiding Scams, both published by Prentice Hall, and his website. Check it out. It's very, very valuable. It's scamaside.com. Steve Wiseman. I'm Michael Harrison, and I want to thank Beverly Santinello on the front line, our producer, putting it all together. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine for sharing some insights about the media. And, of course, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and a champion in the battle against ageism. And remember, no matter how many years you have, you know, on your odometer, no matter how many times you've taken that voyage around the sun, it's never too late to follow your dreams, to follow your passions, and to really enjoy your life to its fullest. Never too late at all. So get cracking at it. I'm Michael Harrison. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next weekend right here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.